Hello and good evening, everybody. Welcome to our irregular Tuesday stream.
Heblo.
Heblo. We don't
Heblo.
quite have a cold, but we're both a bit stuffed up due to
Yes.
the changing of the seasons.
Yes, for anyone that's interested, weather report, it's really windy and it's gone quite cold.
Yes, it is windy and it's cold. And thank you, Lamenting Guide, for becoming a Venus Bro. That does segue into the fact that we are still monetized somehow. So if you want to
Because we
support us,
love the nation of Israel, of
yes,
course.
of course, yes. Well, we'll do our affirmations throughout.
But yes, of course, if you wish to support us, you can become a member of the channel. You can give a super chat. If you don't want to give YouTube the money, you can donate to the Ko-fi or subscribe to the Substack. Or if you want to be even cooler than all the people that do that, no offense, you could also buy the book. Because
Yes.
you can just buy book.
You can just buy a book.
We print
Yes.
book, so you can buy book.
Yes. Wait a minute. We do have a quick promo.
If you want to know more about what I'm getting at here, buy books. Other than that, don't ask me what needs.
Buy book, comrade.
Buy a book, comrade. Yes. We have a few of those, don't we? But we're not talking about book, although we do like the book. We're here for another sensible discussion about race.
Yes.
We'll try and keep this concise because this is a relatively sprawling topic in certain ways.
Sensible and centered.
Sensible, yes, center yourself. We're about to get sensible.
Yes.
Set phases to value free.
I've centered myself on my sensibilities.
I've centered myself on my sensibility. Yes.
This is a bit of a following on
Well,
from the
this
stream you did
does,
a couple of weeks ago,
yes,
though.
this does follow on a bit from the Mayflies, which is the stream we did about the fact that immigrant populations aren't particularly healthy. We weren't quite sure what to call it. We didn't want to call it like race and schizophrenia, though we're getting into some of that. But really, we're going through some of the A to B to C of they are not us and we are not them. We tell people to keep calm and remember their training. We're trying not to anchor this to a specific event because this is not just about us. That's one of the worst things you can do is try and just talk about a specific event. This is about a standing effect, a series of standing effects, which adds up to populations that are a problem in
Yes.
multitude of
And
ways.
they love when they talk about this stuff to focus on singular incidents of stabbiness
Yes.
and try to pick apart in that specific example how this is unique and that stabbiness has happened to you because of all these very complex reasons that you wouldn't understand because you're not an expert.
Yes.
Except from when you actually look at the aggregate level of stabbiness amongst certain populations. Actually, really simple.
Well, I don't want to go into that stuff too much. We've got a couple of examples of that, but the example we use from the health stream is that these racial groups are overrepresented in basically everything. Their health is poorer, the obesity rates are higher, their benefits claim levels are higher. We went through that in the Mayfly stream. 74% of Pakistani, Black African, and Bangladeshi women were overweight. So it's Caribbean, Pakistani, Black African, and Bangladeshi. Bangladesh was nearly 80%, actually. Much higher than the background level of obesity, which is one of these effects. Well, again, if you want to see that stuff in full, do catch up with our Mayfly
It's probably
stream.
worth mentioning as a general principle, though, because we probably don't re-emphasize it as much as we should. But it is our quite firm belief that the number of quote-unquote modern health crises we face in Britain and the West aren't really anything to do with our population changing too majorly.
No.
What we're really seeing is effects of foreign-born populations with predominance for a subset of issues that we haven't had at such rates before. I mean, as soon as you start to look at, as you say, but obesity stuff and heart disease, it's not like every other white person that all of a sudden got heart disease. It's that we've imported a population of people that just seem to all have it.
Well, there's the whole thing is that this seems to be an attempt to look at, yes, foreign nationals feature. This is supposed to be debunking, but the most famous instance of statistical differences when it comes to race is crime. We know this. We've known this for, Germany has 15 to 41. In Germany in 2023, 41% of criminal suspects were foreign nationals in a general population of 15%. These statistics are repeated for foreign nationals and non-native ethnic groups all over Europe, but this inescapable fact is always accompanied by heaps of apologetics, using these high criminal offending rates as evidence of some kind of racist society-wide conspiracy of structural racism.
Can I, for some catharsis, please read some of the pathetic apologia here?
Oh, yes, of course. Well, I was about to say, the apologia in question, please go ahead.
First, crime statistics are not without their pitfalls. Foreign nationals also include people who commit crimes in Germany but do not live there. Tourists, for example. Then there is the fact that these statistics include crimes that only migrants can commit, like illegal entry.
I don't know. If someone enters a country illegally, surely that makes them a foreign criminal.
I mean, I can see this logic being applied to the African-American population.
Mm.
We're the only people that commit rape.
Yes.
So that's not really fair. You're just adding extra crimes. Other factors further distort the statistics. Criminologist Gino Wallinger points out in an interview with Media Against Integration, studies have shown that people who are perceived as foreign are more likely to be reported for a crime than those perceived as German. Criminologists add that the comparatively high number of foreign offenders has little to do with nationality, challenging personal circumstances in particular, make it more likely that a person will commit a crime. Of course, migrants are especially vulnerable to such circumstances, being at elevated risk of poverty or violence in their countries of origin, for example.
See, it's the backwards logic. It's,
I mean, we're going to get a lot of this throughout
what we're
talking about here, and it's one of the points we'll get to later on about why you should never really argue specifics with this stuff and more about generals, because you can play chicken and egg about this all you want. What you can't deny here, even from a liberal perspective, is that foreign people in Germany are called.
I don't care if it's because they feel bad.
Yeah.
They commit all the crimes and they need to leave.
Mm.
Whether they feel bad or not.
But as I'm saying, don't ever allow yourself to get pulled into that chicken and egg sort of discussion about this stuff.
They are not us, we are not them, and they commit all the crimes. That is statistical fact. And again, be more strident with it if you can.
At least they agree with us that the fact that these people being here is a crime in the first place.
Yes. This is the most zoomed out population level stuff in London in terms of murder rates. London was 60% white when these figures were taken. I believe this, what year is this? 2018. So I believe it's got worse, but this is a snapshot of 2018. It's just some good population level figures before the figures got completely ruined. It's almost impossible to find these figures now. They're diluted. It's a crime survey. It's become ridiculous. So these are from 2018 because these are some of the most solid numbers I could still find. Here we go. Population 13% black, 60% white. Obviously, this doesn't include other racial groups. If you have an IQ at room temperature, you might object to that.
Well, white here will include Eastern Europeans.
Yes, this includes white other, as we'll go to. The category of white other, by the way, offends at a much higher rate than white British.
Wow, what a surprise.
I won't wheel those out, but we'll also see that the white other category, when we get to the mental health stuff, also seems to have an elevated rate in that area too. All of this stuff does tie together.
But there's multiple explanations for this that you're offered as someone who engages in the political sphere nowadays. If you're a leftist, you blame this on racism.
Yes.
If you're a right winger, you blame this on Islam, even though it's got absolutely fuck all to do with it.
Well, as you can see, that in terms of murder suspects, whites are roughly half their population level, well, more than half, less than half their population level in terms of suspects. They are also less in terms of victims, but in terms of suspects to victims, you get this weighting here.
Yes.
So there are a lot more white people murdered by black people in London, but this is just the rawness of it. 13%. 44% of victims and 48% of suspects. So they offend at a rate that is more than three times. So it's more than six times when you compare it to when you adjust it for population level.
Yeah,
I believe it's about seven in all of these because I went through this on a little bit of social media.
Which still makes London vastly safer than basically everywhere else in America, mate.
Yes, it does. London has about the same murders per capita as New Hampshire, which is, along with Hawaii, the safest state in America. I've been through this before, but rural Wisconsin has a higher murder rate than London.
And I would imagine as well, if you had statistics for Manchester or Glasgow or Birmingham, I would imagine these disparities would be even more extreme.
Yes. You can cry about it all you like, but America, in terms of murders, is a third world country. It is orders of magnitude more dangerous in terms of violent crime than Britain is. So remember that when an American tells you Britain needs to be more like America. But what they really mean is they want more brown people killing you. That's what America is.
I suppose we should do the due diligence, though. Why do they commit more crime?
Where is that? Well, first of all, let's, again, keep calm and remember your training. Here's a scary picture if you don't believe in science, in quotes. But this is the real settled science. In fact, this is one of the things that we know the most about humanity, because the liberal lols, or whoever, keep trying to disprove it. There is an incredible amount of evidence to do with race and IQ. It is overwhelming. But remember that IQ is a proxy. It's a relative measure, and it is only a proxy for intelligence. IQ is a very flawed measure in my mind. It's open to adjustment. It's open to interpretation. It's also open...
You've got cultural biases. Yeah, cultural bias.
It is quite flawed, but... Roughly, you do get, in a white population, 100 IQ may have drifted a bit, but if you were to anchor it to what a white population has when you move to, say, sub-Saharan Africa or the Middle East, I've averaged this out at 75, which is very generous for many of these nations. But the point I'm trying to make here is that if you have an IQ peak of 75, what you actually have is 1 in 7 people with an IQ under 60.
And 1 in 50 with an IQ below 45.
Yeah, you have 2% of your population with an IQ below 45. But the problem with IQ tests is that once you get below 70, aka definite mental retardation, because it's actually better at detecting retardation than it is detecting intelligence.
Yes.
It's very difficult for somebody who is, say, actually 110 IQ to score like 70 on an IQ test. They just wouldn't do it.
Yes.
but it's very easy for someone who's, say, 100 IQ to score 110 on a certain way. It's very fuzzy in the middle.
But I get...
But it's very vague. It starts to break down near the end, because what you are measuring is cognitive dysfunction.
Yes, and I think that's partly what we want to mention here, is that we are not necessarily being hard line on IQ statistics here as being perfect.
No.
Because I think we'd actually go one step further than a lot of your typical human biodiversity race science people and say that I actually don't think you can measure brains across different races by the same metrics.
It's very difficult. To a degree, I agree with people who talk about it being unsuitable. It's unsuitable, but that's worse. These people aren't compatible with intelligence tests made for whites because they don't have the mental capacities in a broader sense, not in a specific sense,
yes.
Not just IQ, in a broader sense. And that is because the landscape of how they perceive the world is so different in a way that makes them incompatible with orderly, especially technological industrial civilizations. It makes them incompatible. But this, if you're wondering the population effect, a lot of people think, 75 IQ. What that really means is this. It really means that you have a very large percent of your population, 1 in 7 plus 2%, is well below the function line. It is well below the threshold needed to function in an industrialized nation, in a modern society as we think of it, especially in somewhere like Europe.
But it's okay, because we've got a giant therapeutic state that's going to fix all this.
This alone doesn't explain all of it, though.
No.
That's the problem is that people who quote you 1350 are actually being somewhat generous. To... The real problem is when you look at things like schizophrenia rates and psychosis rates. This is where you get into these people not only being stupid, but dangerous.
Well, this is what I'm trying to say, though, I think, with the fact that you can't measure these brains in the same way. There is obviously some value to what we're going to identify with some of the studies we've got here listed. But I think really a large part of what you're trying to deal with here is that you can't understand these people by the psychology and the sort of typologies that we have used to understand European brains.
Yes.
We live in a very different environment, a very different background, and fundamentally, you might even argue, from completely different groups in the first place. So
unknown hominid.
It's kind of like a completely different sort of modal operation that their brains are engaged in that ours is. And that's not to say that anyone's better or worse than anyone else. It's an appreciation of the fact that we are just different. They are not like us, and we are not like them. Trying to force us to live together. Really not going to be all that great, is it?
Well, here's the Telegraph. This is where we got our cover image from, partly, because it's about perfect. But the way that the Telegraph frames this is a therapeutic framing. And we will see this throughout all of this. We are failing these people, and therefore it's our fault for not treating
them.
There's not
the social support networks, yeah. There's not the charity, they all end up taking drugs, and of course, this is our fault.
Think of the £5 there, James Goodwin. Recently found your channel and enjoying the content, working my way through your back catalogue of streams, and have ordered a copy of the book. Thank you. We'll check in on your mental health periodically. Because thank you, but also we're sorry.
Yes.
From Huntington to Southport, a series of violent crimes is emerging from mania, not dogma. Because the original excuse, the framing around counter jihad is another framing that is effectively excusing the fact that these are immutable ethnic differences that cause ethnic conflict. That the framing around radical Islam is actually a cover for the fact that South Asian populations do not belong here in a structural sense. It's not their ideology. It's what they are. It's not what they believe. And as these populations become more and more represented and as their crimes become harder to hide, you end up with more excuse-making. And the excuse-making here is that it's our job to look after black schizophrenics.
Yes, and it's an important point that I think is allowed to slip through the cracks more often than not, which is that these people are not intellectualized radicals because of a subset of dangerous ideas that we then have to control. No, they're just fundamentally not compatible with our society and our way of life.
Well, we'll get into more of it, but these differences clearly strain to the realm of biology when scientific information is examined. For example, black Americans have twice to four times the rate of schizophrenia as a population and psychosis than white Americans. That's the generous number. Mm. As we get into these studies, we'll start to see, as you look at very specific groups, this becomes 9x, 13x, 32x cases.
That was the other point I was going to add there. My slightly cold-laden brain is taking a little bit longer than it normally does. And the attempt as well with that, specifically that in Huntington, and I think also in Southport, to call these incidents terrorism is to make you believe that the people on the street that look like this, that haven't attacked you yet, are somehow safe.
Yes.
Are safer than the people that have done it. When really, if you actually studied Axel Rubikabugabugabugabugabugabug, whatever, and the guy that runs whatever Caribbean shop in your high street, they're actually probably a lot closer together than anyone would really like to admit.
They're a lot closer to each other than you are to them.
Yes.
Far closer. Far, far, far closer. Cognitively and in terms of mental structure, yes. Here we get on to... God, is this the New York... Yes.
Yes.
The New York Times in America's Hidden Racial Divide, a mysterious gap in psychosis rates... trots out the tired old horse of blaming all measurable race differences on racism. Shall we read a little bit of this?
Yeah, we'll read a little stuff or some of it.
Twice is that's a cover up. That's basically a lie.
We'll get there.
It's a disparity that is paralleled in other cultures.
Errol Miller's favorite book. It's an article by Daniel Bergner, editor to the magazine. Written in ways of treating psychotic disorders.
Let's not get the narrative stuff. Here we go.
Yeah, it says, a growing body of research reveals black people in the United States suffer the hallucinations and delusions of psychosis. The voices that seem to emanate from outside a person's head, the visions, the paranoias, the breaks with common reality, at a rate roughly twice of that of white people. In Europe, racial disparities regarding psychosis are yet wider.
Yeah, it's because the American system tries to cover it up, like, systemically. It's really evil, to be fair.
Even after researchers control for socioeconomic factors and address issues of diagnosis, the alarming racial gaps remain.
Yeah, that twice, by the way, is them weighting the scales as far as they physically can. That's why that number's so much lower. It's actually 4, at least. Well, and because, actually, it's 8. Well, because actually, it's 12.
Well, I can tell you why the difference is bigger in Europe, because in Europe, the white people are European.
Yes.
In America, the white people are mostly Hispanic.
Well, they're also mostly
mixed race.
They're also mixed race, which doesn't...
So you're actually measuring the two things against one another and soaking up the statistics as they both rise up alongside each other.
Oh, yeah, as we'll get to, being mixed race of any variety massively elevates your rates of psychosis.
Yes, Coney Current Year there was Fiverr has also put in a joke that I was talking about earlier on, which is, of course, asking them, what if you had stabbed someone this morning, Abdul?
Yes, well, but what if you did stab someone on the train this morning?
But I didn't stub anyone. Studies suggesting a link between minority or outsider status. No. It's about disparate racial.
It's to do with the racial. You've already controlled for socioeconomic factors and issues of diagnosis. You've already weighted.
But let's control for it another time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A 1932 study looked at hospital admissions for psychosis in Minnesota. It found that Norwegian immigrants were admitted at twice the rate of native Minnesotans. Or Norwegians in their home country. By the 1970s, researchers were turning specifically to racial divides and psychiatric disorders, and by the 2000s, the relationship between race and psychosis, which appears to outstrip any correlation between race and more common conditions like depression, quite a large admittance that, was becoming well studied in both the United States and Europe, yet despite the mounting data in the US, until recently the issue was relegated to the edges of mainstream psychiatry. Perhaps beyond the edges.
Well, basically, a lot of this is just equivocating. I'll get to the end here. This is a very long piece, basically apologising for the fact that these people are... It's all very narrative.
Oh, God, it's just narrative shit.
Yeah, it's just...
There.
Don't you feel sorry for the black people?
But I think the point you've got here is you've got in the notes. Blaming all adverse outcomes for non-European ethnic groups on racism inherently blames all problems those groups experience on ethnic Europeans. It's a Kafka trap, where groups who underperform or show specific negative traits at a population level can blame any and all outcomes on the white racial outgroup.
Yes, it is a cop-out. It's, I'm schizophrenic because you're racist.
Mm.
That's all, and we'll see this all the way down. These are immutable racial differences between these groups. And all you see managerially is them papering over the cracks with, that's your fault, a black schizophrenic stabbed you.
Yeah.
It's your fault because of racism, because of we'll get into generational trauma, but here's the main study I wanted to use because... This is great because it admits everything and then just tries to engage
I really like that in the chat. Man, all the witch doctor stuff makes sense now.
Yeah.
Well, this is exactly
We're going to get there.
I mean, we're studying these people through the metrics of, you know, very, very precise clinical definitions of mental dysfunction when they turn around to their own population and go, You have a demon in you.
There's a demon in him. We ban him. We burn out the demon. But yes. the median global presence of schizophrenia has been estimated 6.4 per 100,000 of general population. In the UK, a GP, on average, 2,000 patients carry about 8 patients with schizophrenia. And possibly 12 if their practice is based in an urban area. Patients with schizophrenia consult the GP twice as frequently, blah, 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 but there we go.
And it is the GP who is the health professional most likely to maintain contact and develop a long-term relationship with a patient with schizophrenia. Incidence rates are much lower than prevalence rates because schizophrenia commonly follows a protracted course. Global incidence rates are estimated to be 15.2 per 100,000, so GPs can, on average, expect to see one new case every 3 years. I bet you they're seeing a damn sight more than that. Elevated incidences of schizophrenia in UK Black Caribbeans have been consistently reported. The UK-based Etiology and Ethnicity in Schizophrenia and Other Psychoses, ASOP Multisite, study is one of the largest studies to examine ethnic variations in schizophrenia incidents. 2006, they reported a 9-fold increase and the risk of developing schizophrenia in Black Caribbeans.
9-fold. And by the way, that's not controlled for sex, as we'll get to, when compared to the white British population. The increased risk was 5.8 in black Africans and 1.4 in South Asians. So a South Asian is 40% more likely to be schizophrenic than a white British person is. A black African is 580%, and a Caribbean is 900%. And that's not controlling for, once you get into male-female split, I believe for black Caribbeans, it's 13 to 20 times, depending on who measures it. Mm. And Africans, it's, again, about 9 times and lower for females, because schizophrenia is more prevalent within a male population.
We're also not going to hear out the Hitchens argument here that this is all to do with the prevalence of weed smoking. Because, again, what you're dealing with there is a chicken and egg problem.
Well, genetic predisposition, yes.
The most powerful risk factor for the development of schizophrenia is having an affected family member. Are you suggesting this trait's hereditary? Like many other racial traits?
But the, it goes on to say, general population, blah, 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 selective migration, we'll go through this. Oh, misdiagnosis. They talk about the fact that Caribbeans simply methodological artifacts, however more rigorous studies continue to report higher rates. For example, it basically says that this isn't misdiagnosis. It tries to talk about the fact that there is different experience between blacks and white in terms of...
For example, the Aesop study used population denominators derived from the 2001 National Census, which included detailed ethnic group data and extensive adjustment for under-enumeration, used standardized diagnosis of schizophrenia, internal classification of disease ICD-10 criteria, and reached a diagnosis using consensus diagnostic groups blinded to the ethnicity of the patient.
Yes.
And monitored for inter-rater and inter-center reliability.
Still 9 times.
Yeah.
Still 9 times.
I mean,
9 times more
that's
schizophrenic.
That's them admitting that they've made an effort to make that result not come out.
Yes.
And still
this
it's there.
9 times with the hands on the scale. Clinician bias, cultural relativity.
The former argues that diagnostic bias by clinicians has inflated the true incidence in some ethnic groups. The latter argues that diagnostic differences are due to ethnic differences in the type of symptoms exhibited by schizophrenia.
Cultural differences, again, they're trying to, but they've just said that the study was blind, so they're actually just lying to themselves.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Cannabis use.
Oh, yeah, because blacks use more drugs, therefore the drugs did it. They're really trying everything here. But no, they've already sunk their own boat, because the largest risk factor is having a family member with schizophrenia, because schizophrenia is heritable. So they've admitted that this is elevated and heritable, and the rest of this is just lies.
Chat's on fire this evening.
Yeah.
How many schizophrenic Caribbeans does it take to write Temple OS? Whoa, somebody's really getting to the brass tacks here.
Social factors.
Unemployment, poverty, and lower social class is well known, but this association appears to be more related to social selection than social causation. Urbanicity itself is associated with the incidence of schizophrenia.
Yeah, because of black people in cities.
No, do you know what? I would actually agree with that statement in general. I think living in a city is more likely to make you a schizophrenic than living, say, in a nice farmhouse.
But that's post-war. Mm. Post-war, if you look at that, again, chicken and egg. Thank you, DDW... Dominic there for £10, but yes, we'll keep going. A lot of this is attachment. They basically talk about the fact that family support and family breakdown and loss, family separation, living in predominantly... Here we go. This is the one that got me.
Yeah. African Caribbeans living in predominantly white neighbourhoods have found to have a higher incidence of schizophrenia. This has been termed the ethnic density effect, and maybe another expression of social isolation. Individuals living in areas where their own ethnic group constitutes a smaller proportion of the local population have been reported to feel excluded from local social networks and dependent on geographically dispersed, culturally specific fatalities. No wonder Uncle H put them all in ghettos, because then they could live with their own and they wouldn't have to worry about this stuff.
They're also talking about the fact that you need more of... Like, this is trying to justify immigration to treat schizophrenia, basically.
No, we just group them all into the same place. How about they all live in the same town and then we don't have to worry about it anymore?
Psychological factors. We'll get into this. The conclusions here are baffling because they're really trying to say, no, this isn't heritable, and yet, yeah.
Racism itself may contribute to social exclusion, increasing the vulnerability to schizophrenia.
It's your fault a black schizophrenic stabbed you.
Biological or genetic susceptibility do not appear to explain high rates of schizophrenia in black Caribbeans. But you've already said schizophrenia runs in genetically. So if you've got two incidences in it in your family before you, you are more likely to get it than someone with no incidences.
Yes.
That's irrespective of race. So this, when you combine that with race, it's doubly true.
Yes.
More research is needed about the role of cannabis, particularly in its more potent forms, and whether this contributes to the excess of schizophrenia in black Caribbeans.
What, but you can't. We know this effect takes place. Here we go. Here's the University of Manchester. This one's amazing because, again, they're going the therapeutic angle, but admitting a bit too much. A groundbreaking talking treatment has been developed and successfully trialed in a group of black and minority ethnic schizophrenic service users. Oh, here we go. Where's the nine times bit? Do you want to.
It's a waddy blood clad.
Yeah.
People of African Caribbean origin, including those of mixed heritage.
Yes.
I wonder what would happen if you separated those statistics out, but we'll find that out later.
We'll get to that in a bit.
Are nine times more likely to be diagnosed with schizophrenia than white British people. Black Africans' risk of diagnosis is six times greater.
Risk of diagnosis. That again, look at the language on display here. It's our fault for diagnosing them.
Yeah. Having tried the new therapy, service users, carers, therapists, and service providers, might as well have just said stakeholders,
yes,
reported improved symptoms and better understanding and communication between patients, families, and services.
It doesn't say that they're not schizophrenics, though.
Dr. Edge. Dr. Edge, does he work at the Goon Institute? A senior lecturer who's also the University of Manchester's academic lead for equality, diversity and inclusion. Of course he is! Racism, discrimination, adversity and alienation are key contributors to the problem.
Mm.
So we just need more of them, and then we'll all be schizophrenic and no one will be able to tell the difference.
This is it. There is this. We live in a quote-unquote anti-racist society in which black Caribbean specifically have a nine times greater instance of schizophrenia. And again, that's your fault.
I bet you no one saw this line coming next, though. She said...
Yeah.
People from BME communities tell us that the constant stress of racism and surviving in often hostile environments... Can make trigger mental illness.
Well, yeah, it was written by Diversity High. What do you expect? Have you considered that these people are, like, dangerous schizophrenics?
Moreover, when a black person is experiencing psychological distress, mental health services are often unable to distinguish between their responses to everyday stresses and illnesses, compounding the problem, i.e. white qualified social care workers who have been given a caseload of black people cannot distinguish between ones who are troubled and ones who are genuinely dangerously mentally ill, because as far as they're concerned, they are the same.
Well, they are the same. They also offend the same way. I'd like to stress again, this population, as we've seen repeatedly, is dangerous. It is murderous on racial grounds.
Mm.
It is a huge risk to those around it. And yet we are sold it in these intellectually insulting terms. These people are dangerous schizophrenics, and it's because they are that by birth.
Yes.
And all research shows you that schizophrenia is heritable.
We might as well keep going here, because this just gets better.
Yes.
Not surprisingly, African Caribbeans and people from other BME backgrounds are often reluctant to engage with mental health services, as they do not think they'll be understood or treated fairly. I suppose that's right of them. In consequence, they tend to come into contact with services much later in their illness, often in a state of crisis, involving the police and being sectioned under the Mental Health
Act. Yes, because they've tried to kill a white person, generally.
Once in services, their care is more likely to be coercive than white British people's. Black patients are much more likely to be held in seclusion, forcibly given medication, and regularly readmitted. On average, they remain in hospital twice as long as white British people and are more likely to be discharged on costly community treatment orders. How about you just fucking send them back?
Why don't we, again, yes, but the consequence of this is that these people go into a train and stab everybody.
So why don't they go back to Afro-Caribbean land and live with their own people so they don't
have
to feel alienated?
If racism is so stressful, maybe you should live in a place where you're not going to experience
it. It's like now that you wouldn't download a DVD, you wouldn't download a car, you wouldn't give a black man schizophrenia.
Yeah. To sum up, go and be schizophrenic in a black country. but again, the insulting tone of this is these people rampage around our streets, indiscriminately murdering us, who are the people who were born here, but we must pander to the people who... Look at this.
Oh, is that's Dr. Dawn Edge. And then we've got some sort of fucking Abo as well. I've seen enough of this. Get that away.
Absolutely insulting. Stop them people from stabbo us, or we send them back.
Yeah.
That's my response, Dr. Dawn Edge. Here we go. Psychotic disorders. From 2017. Main facts and figures. This is psychotic disorders. The thing is, mixed race and other ethnic groups is basically left out because they didn't want to put in the rates here. They basically pled low sample size. We'll get onto why in another study. But if you look at this, here we go. White females, 0.7%. Black males, 3.2%.
Which we can basically presume means there's a doubling between...
Yeah.
Male and female in the black population.
If a black male is 10 times more likely to be psychotic than a white male in Britain, and that includes white other. When you drill down to white British, that is more like 0.3 overall and 0.1 for men. So if you look at the white British versus black Caribbean specifically, it's about 32 times higher. I'm not going to go through the figures. I've drilled down in them. Look at them yourself if you want, because I don't want to get into spreadsheets here. But if you look at the specific groups, if you look at white British versus black Caribbean males in terms of psychosis, 32x.
Hmm.
It's 32 times. But again, percentage of 16-year-olds and over who... screened positive for psychiatric disorder in the past year by ethnicity. That's 3.2%. That's a rolling 3.2%.
Year on year.
I believe it's... We'll get into the actual schizophrenia rates for black males, which I believe is about 1.3% specifically, which is if you have 100 black males in a room in Britain, one of them will be schizophrenic, and three of them will have some kind of
schizotypical sort of disorder.
Sort of a psychotic disorder. 3%. Three. As opposed to 0.3. Mixed other.
Something tells me the recognition of these quantities against one another is making me rich.
The mixed other, again, they kind of threw out the data. They tried not to use it, but this is what the numbers say, and it is specifically both schizoid and psychotic disorders we're looking at, where the prevalence is ridiculous in these groups. Again, PubMed, this is racial disparities in psychiatric disorder diagnosis, a review of empirical literature. There we go. Cultural sensitivity
is imperative.
we'll try and get down to the actual numbers here.
Hey, scroll up a second, just that last paragraph there. Was GARB completed under another literature review, including studies until 1986, in part focused on race and diagnosis. However, specifically from a racial bias perspective, as an overall conclusion, GARB explained that African-American and Hispanic Puerto Rican patients are more likely to be diagnosed as schizophrenia, even when measures of psychopathology do not indicate that a diagnosis of schizophrenia is justified. Our metrics can't measure this, but it's the closest thing we can say it is.
Yeah. Basically, yes. And again, it's that there's a lot of trying to talk people out of this. Review on American research on race and diagnosis of schizophrenia, reports of the literature. This is one of the meta studies here.
Mm-hmm.
Other psychiatric disorders. A lot of this is just apologetics. So I want to include this one because this one is almost just completely apologetics, and if we get into conclusion. The review demonstrates how race and ethnicity are in fact influenced the diagnosis of schizophrenia, comprehensive study of empirical studies of 24-year period. A lot of this is trying to
it's trying to explain it away.
Yes.
And they're trying to say that it's the fact that there are racial differences between us that they are being diagnosed with schizophrenia. Which is true in a regard, but they're trying
but
to
this
say that
is
that's
the table
wrong.
I wanted to get up. Mm. These are all of the diagnosis of schizophrenia, all the studies. All but one study on race and schizophrenia has shown elevated diagnosis rates in non-whites. That's just, like, they're trying to argue it's because they are being overdiagnosed rather than they're, you know, more schizophrenic, which seems completely untenable with the rest of the stuff we've read.
I think these people have just put bias studies together, actually.
Yes. But this is these are all the studies which show you that ethnic minorities are much more likely to be schizophrenic and psychotic. So, hooray there. Ethno-racial risk variance across the psychosis continuum in the US. Here we go. Where's some of the... Yes.
Of 64 studies in the systematic review, 47 were included in the meta-analysis comprising 55,000 people near enough with schizophrenia and 223,000 with data on PSPEs. Compared with white individuals, black individuals had increased risk of schizophrenia, pooled odds ratio 2.07, that a PSE of 0.1. Latinx individuals had higher risk.
Latinx, yeah. These are, again, terrible. Sorry, go on.
Sorry, they're not the best format for these. I get what they're trying to say. But again, it's the same result. Despite the fact that they're trying to factor all of this stuff out, it turns out that people that are non-whites go a bit mental when they live in non-white countries.
Here's the big one I wanted to find, though. This is another meta-study. Ethnic inequalities in the incidence of diagnosis of severe mental illness in England. A systematic review and a new meta-analysis of non-affective and effective psychosis. But here's where the other stuff starts to come in. Because this, really, the results here are shocking. Again... we included 28 primary studies relative to the majority population. Significantly higher risk of diagnosed schizophrenia was found in Black African, 5.2 times higher. Black Caribbean,
up to 8.46.
Yeah. So that's 5.2. That's 4.2 up to 6.24. Although we've just seen 9 times, that seems a bit incongruous. But South Asian, 2.27. White other, 2.24. And mixed ethnicity, 2.24. But when you go down to the psychosis, Black African is 4.07. Black Caribbean is 2.91. South Asian is 1.71. White other is 1.55. And mixed ethnicity is 6.61. You will find that 3.9 to 9.52. The mixed race stuff, which is the stuff I want to talk about off my own back here, because I don't want to get into. We've already been through these studies enough. We'll be getting off these pretty quickly because we have a few other things to go through. I just want to pull out these because this is quite extraordinary proof of what we're talking about. When you look at schizoid disorders, psychotic disorders, people who are specifically mixed race, black, white, have incidences to the moon. A lot of the sample sizes are quite small because miscegenation is still relatively rare when we look at it. But the evidence we do have is that being mixed race, black, white, or any form of mixed race in general, gives you huge risk factors for mental illness, and specifically serious psychosis and schizophrenia. I know this because I know two people who are black, white, mixed race, functional schizophrenics who have schizoid disorders and went down their own rabbit hole and then went to their doctors and went, why don't you tell people that being mixed race like I am almost guarantees that you have some form of psychosis?
Thank you to Smith in the chat for the £6. So a lot of blacks are simply lying when they say they have no internal dialogue. Whether it's internal or external,
They don't have an internal dialogue. They have an external dialogue.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's external. Yeah.
they're not lying. It's just different. Again, here
and
we go.
And now they're speaking to the... I'm not even going to say
it. We'll get into... I've talked for a while here. Do you want to talk about generational trauma?
We can, yes. I don't know if there's a bit specific you want to pull out, or is it the same stuff here?
Read some of the spiel, because I've got some
cool, it's just the same stuff here. Yeah. The theory is, of course, absurd, and is based on the specific framing that all visible minorities...
Oh, sorry, there is a the avoidance of heritable traits... go from that bit, sorry.
I'm sorry. The avoidance of using heritable traits as an explanation reaches its zenith in the science of so-called generational or intergenerational trauma, in which all ill experienced by non-European ethnic populations in Western nations is blamed quite literally on inheriting racial trauma, from their ancestors and previous collective incidents of discrimination.
You can't inherit schizophrenia from your schizophrenic ancestors, but you can inherit
the
racially.
Conditions upon which they became schizophrenic. The logic goes that racialized people, even in an anti-racist society, still underperform due to racism because their parents were more likely to be bad parents due to racism-based trauma. And this way, they pass on the trauma of racism to their children.
We found a way to have heritability without heritability.
It is the logical endpoint of blaming everything on racism and should be openly mocked as a blank check for non-European groups to misbehave and blame Europeans. Obviously, the inability of non-Westerners to raise their own children is, of course, our fault. That intergenerational trauma could never be anything that's inherent to them due to their characteristics, of course.
No.
Certain populations are more demonstrably genetically healthy than others. The reasons for this create endless hand-wringing, but the fact remains, the science says that race is real. So if genetic differences at a population level are demonstrably true, we must take that to its logical conclusion and to place far outside of the current political frame. Do not get embroiled in overly scientific arguments. All research shows that there are intelligence differences. There are differences in offending rates. There are differences in health outcomes. Borne out over a population level over decades now. Treat these heritable differences as settled science and attack all explanations involving racism, is victim blaming and anti-scientific ideological thinking.
That's a little bit for later.
Yes, but I think what you're trying to say there is, if you do want to argue the science angle, take these as your like axiomatic truths, and anyone that's trying to deny those, flip the frame on them and say that they are being anti-science, they are being anti-objective. But I think
just read the conclusion. This is a real study published. We assert that structural racism and cumulative trauma are fundamental drivers of the intergenerational transmission of depression. The clinical vignette highlights the ways in which structural racism and cumulative trauma...
exposures to hate crimes via cross burnings and parental incarcerations. So things that never fucking happened.
And your parents being criminals.
Yeah, that's our fault. Interact to influence the intergenerational transmission of depression. Action should be directed towards policies that dismantle structurally racist institutions.
This is what the therapeutic state comes up with trying to create homo economicus, though. The individual economic unit gets absolutely destroyed when you realise that...
They can't fix this problem with their solutions, and I bet they fucking know this.
They know. Nobody believes this is true.
Oh, no.
Well, nobody, apart from people who are idiots who get laughed at by the leftists above them.
I bet you Dr. Edge believed this was true. People have all the time, and that's why maybe I like these, sir. Including a mental health treatment system that is equitable. So what, we all need to be schizophrenic now to meet the outcomes that they do?
But this
is that actually them turning around saying we all need to be interbred so we've all got sociopathy and schizophrenia at the same population levels so that we can all be one in the same, finally?
No, what they're saying is you should ignore this and allow us to continue to create a de-individuated society of interchangeable units when they're not. The thing, people believe this is happening for ideological reasons, but it's not.
No.
It's happening for managerial reasons. The managerial class in creating, you know, homo managerialists, in creating the individual citizen unit that is indifferentiated from the other citizen unit, cannot interact with massive schizophrenia rates in the black and mixed race population.
People who are literally murderous lunatics by their nature, because of the environments their ancestors have grown up in, they have to be given the same rights, the same treatment, the same privileges as you.
Well, we'll get on to that, but here's even more of it. You're right. This is the business as usual. What we see with all the stabbiness is business as usual in Britain flooded with a population that has a very high incidence of schizophrenia. Equality under the law, and all of this, this is where equality under the law leads. We all need to be more schizophrenic, is what equality under the law says.
Yeah.
If you believe in equality under the law, you might as well surrender now. It is equality with the lowest common denominator. Thus, the criminal must be treated like the law-abiding, and the law-abiding must be subjected to all the methods that are needed to control the increasingly dangerous criminal. Equality Britain must simultaneously assume everyone is a potential black schizophrenic murderer, but also that the criminal is treated exactly as the innocent. In reality, this ideal is madness. You get people who are murderous animals. They have basically no higher brain function, but we have to treat them as human beings.
They just need the witch doctor.
They just need the witch doctor.
And they can like trepan their head and put
I didn't
a couple
want to get into
in
this,
it.
But some of these talk about the fact that culturally, black people experience hallucinations. Apparently, 10% of all black people in the UK report hearing auditory hallucinations in a year. But they put that down as a cultural thing, and then try and use it to say, well, because culturally
I'm
they
expect... actually hearing the sounds of Da Jungle.
Yeah, but yes, this explains all the witch doctor stuff. These people have an IQ peak in 75, and a large proportion of them are actually schizophrenic and psychotic. Mm. That is what the liberal literature says. It tries to therapeutize and move away from it, but obviously the upshot of this, I'll get this study back up, but like, look at this shit.
Yes. What we're going to get into now is actually something that I think a lot of people that even take a bit of an interest in some of this stuff don't quite recognize, which is that this effect of sort of hereditary mental illness and the incidence of it actually gets worse when you interbreed, because the incompatibility of like one side of the brain with the other means that there's actually even a higher likelihood of this happening in people who are maybe partly percentage white than there would be in people who are more, shall we say, thoroughly blooded Afro-Caribbeans.
Thank you for the £10. I'll just say Nico. So thank you. I got that via PayPal. So thank you. Again, another way to do it. But yes, what you also don't realize is that, as I said, huge, huge, huge risk factors. And we need to get onto the thorny subject. We talked about it during the Mayfly stream, but one of the thorniest topics in the discussion of race is miscegenation. The argument is not to be shied away from, though. European populations have demonstrably lower incidence of genetic disease than, for example, the UK Pakistani community, and also the Black Caribbean community and the mixed community. The UK Pakistani community has large rates of birth defects, and the UK Caribbean and Black African community and admixtures therein have massively elevated rates, as we've been through, of schizophrenia and psychosis. The UK Pakistani community is approximately 55% the result of first cousin marriages. This practice is far from uncommon in non-European ethnic groups. To quote someone who was trying to make some apologetic for this, over 20% of humanity comes from cultures where cousin marriage is common, basically an incest.
Now, is this intergenerational trauma? Is this our fault?
Yes,
that they all breed with their own cousins? Yes, that's our fault.
Is it our fault that
they
all are literally inbred and that causes them to have a massive amount of genetic diseases? I believe this is included in here.
I think part of the point as well is the fact that this has a cumulative effect.
Yes.
You are more likely to marry your cousin if one of your parents has already married their first cousin.
Yes.
So you end up with a cumulative and compounding effect.
But within
here.
Britain, it is controversial to even mention the fact that these are inbred, unhealthy populations, and that marrying your cousin is wrong.
Unless you share that one panorama clip, that's allowed.
Yes. Often people from cousin marriages are themselves a result of cousin marriages, or multiple generations of cousin marriages. A prevalence of 50% makes it likely to be the case in the British Pakistani community. I guess that's more intergenerational trauma. Yeah.
As we address problems of smoking, drinking, obesity, we say it's a public health issue, and therefore we all have to get involved with it in persuading people to adopt a different lifestyle. I think the same should be applied to this problem in the Asian community. They must adopt a different lifestyle. They must look for outside the family for husbands and wives for their young people. You're telling us to mix, and that this is our fault again.
Yes.
It's our fault that they marry their cousins because we won't fucking breed with them.
Yep. Again, all of this. But the thing is, by interbreeding with them, we become a less healthy population. We also create a generation of genetic disease and mental disease mutants. I'll repeat that again. Four to nine times more likely to be psychotic if you're mixed race. And like I said, white-black admixture, people who are half black, half white, have the highest rate of schizophrenia and psychosis, bar none.
A large majority of the affected children are of Pakistani origin, he acknowledged, but Dr. Corey stressed that he and his colleagues were simply reporting disease as part of their paediatrician's duties. While we are aware that there is increased risk, most cousins who marry have healthy children. What about those people becoming healthy and or neurotypical adults?
Yes. They're able to, they don't have serious birth defects is what you mean. They're not normal. Someone who is the result of an incestuous relationship is not normal and is inbred and has massive recessive traits and huge risk of all kinds of illnesses in later life.
I mean, again, but this comes back to some of the fucking, the grooming gang stuff,
yeah,
and counter-jihad. And maybe it's not that Pakistanis have rationalized in their head a worldview that justifies them engaging in acts of rape against young white girls. Maybe they're all just inbred nutters and they cannot be rationalized with. Maybe that's the issue at hand here. Not the fact that the Quran exists. Not necessarily I'm any sort of big fan of it.
Well, you add the inbreeding to this, and what you get is, you know, cultural sensitivity towards genetic defects caused by incest and the utopian idea of a post-racial world where all our interchangeable human units become the only justification. But in terms of what is acceptable discourse, the plain disadvantages on population-level miscegenation with ethnic groups who practice multi-generational incestuous marriage are outside the bounds, as is talking about the prevalence of psychosis and schizophrenia if you decide to have mixed-race children with Black Caribbeans or Black Africans. You are creating a less healthy population than if you have a child with a fellow white British person. That is scientifically demonstrable. Miscegenation is dysgenic in the British population, and to miscegenate with third world populations is to pollute our shared genetic heritage. And it is also to create people who are mentally ill and have mutagenic load from multi-generational inbreeding in their ancestry. Those should not be allowed into our genetic material as a nation. No.
This does not mean you should obey the edges of the open window.
Yeah.
Say what you want, and crucially, say what is demonstrably, if uncomfortable, reality. Ethnically British people have a higher average IQ, a lower rate of birth defects, lower instances of mental illness, lower levels of violent and sexual criminality, and a higher life expectancy than people living in Britain who are ethnically Pakistani.
Or ethnically Caribbean, or ethnically African, or any of those. Or ethnically white other. Mixed-race relationships are prompted by governments as a solution to racial tension, and they are highly overrepresented in media and advertising. Here we go again. This is from a marketing report. We noticed that the interracial couples were frequently appearing in US advertising to the point that they were possibly being overrepresented in advertising relative to their prevalence in the actual US population. This is from here, where it basically says, yeah, all the mixed-race ads, one, you're not imagining them, and two, they don't work. Ads featuring interracial couples produce mixed results for brands. This is not being done because the advertisement works. It's being done for therapeutic racial reasons. You're seeing mixed race people on the TV because they want you to have a mixed race relationship, because they want you to have a schizophrenic child.
But I also think it's like trying to show the subject in a way that people are close to understanding.
Yes.
If it was a black couple in an advert, you'd know instantly that it's not for you as a white person.
Yes.
But if it's a mixed race couple selling a prestige, you know, some sort of prestige or known brand, the brand is selling you miscegenation. Miscegenation is not selling the brand.
But why is the default position not only that miscegenation is beneficial, but that any discussion around the possible disadvantages or the idea they could be disadvantages is seen as evil and in many contexts is illegal to express.
I mean, what I wonder as well is there has got to be a whole subset of people. I mean, I can imagine particularly the Black Caribbean community in Britain now, which is tiny.
Yeah.
That nowadays, do they want to be bred out? Do they actually want to mix with us and like breed themselves out? I wouldn't think they would. Are they really that interested in doing that? I think they maybe need more convincing than us sometimes, if it wasn't for the fact that maybe they don't have quite the same impulse controls at times.
Yeah. I've used the example before, but if, for example, a poor white community in West Virginia had a cousin marriage rate of over 50%, and it would be looked upon with disgust and mocked with caricatures. People certainly wouldn't be rushing to have children with people from that community. But why is this disgust unacceptable when that community is no longer perceived as white? Why can we not be disgusted by a group of people who are half inbred? This time around.
Yeah. Why would you think about having certain types of mixed-race children if you knew it would increase the risk of schizophrenia and psychosis by 6 to 10 times as much at a conservative estimate? The logical endpoint of ethnic differences being immutable is that some ethnic groups are much more capable of creating and maintaining a complex technological civilization than others. Once again, we would implore you all not to shy away from these difficult points, but to highlight them as marking you out from the failed liberal frame that tries to tell you we're all just the same.
Yes, this is the settled science on race. This is what the studies, time and time and time again, stripped of the apologetics, say to you, that these people are heritably dangerous. That they, even if they are mild-mannered and integrated, like the Axel Ruby Gubba, you can just give birth to a 50 IQ schizo monster at any moment. Mm. It doesn't matter if you decide to miscegenate or not. Your genes make you, if you are somebody who is Black African or Black Caribbean, far more likely to produce a schizophrenic, psychotic offspring who has an IQ that is lower than a functional point.
It's no surprise then, is it, that institutions like the British government or the American government spend billions trying to keep these populations docile when 1 in 30 of their adult males, if not more, are dangerous diagnosed schizophrenics.
Yes, or psychotics.
Yes.
And that's, well, That's our sensible discussion.
That's been our observations for this evening.
Yes, I'll make sure I haven't missed any donations.
I think there's one.
But we have
one
seen
chat.
We have seen a couple of them.
Peter's given us one. One thing you should mix is your drinks.
Don't mix your drinks. Don't mix the races. Good night, everybody.
Thank you for supporting the stream.
Yes,
those who choose to do it. If you want to, you can buy a book or you can be a member of the channel. You can support us if you wish to. Otherwise, we'll probably just keep doing this anyway.
Yes, we probably will.
But sniff, snoff.
Sniff, snoff.
Apologies for my sneezing and
apologies
coughing and whatnot.
Apologies for the sniffing and also the snoffing. We'll let you have a good one. It's time for the outro. Goodbye.
Go to the pub.